Allegiance.
Joey, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Is our high school representative here? No. Okay. She's studying for finals. Board announcements. Okay. Go ahead, Ginger.
Thank you. Last week, some of us attended the high school scholarship and meeting forum, and I just want to congratulate all of our graduating class for their awards and scholarship. This year's class earned a total of $10 million in scholarship and $85,000 in community active scholarships. It was wonderful to see the different presentations come up, but more than that, what an outstanding class, what a nice group of kids, and to them, to their families, we want to wish them all the luck in the world. On June 11th, some of us attended the staff recognition celebration, our Little Red Wagon celebration, and to all the people who were honored that afternoon, we want to say congratulations. And finally, I went to the art show at Matlin and at POB Middle School. I want to tell you the talent that we saw there was just unbelievable. If you have an opportunity before the showcases come down, this is work that this is a middle school child's work. It is just beyond all belief. So again, to the teachers who work so hard with our students, to the parents who have encouraged them, we love the arts at POB High School, Middle School, Matlin, and every place else. But keep up the good work.
Michelle?
Oh, Ginger began it, and she's absolutely right. I, too, was at the art show at Matlin and couldn't get over what I had seen as well. And it was just fantastic to see the artwork from these children. It surpassed their years, no question about it. And I was also at the thespian dinner, which was absolutely fantastic. Oh my God, they sang as though they were in the theater for years and years and years. So it was just a wonderful kind of an evening. And I wish every one of those kids in the art show and in the thespian dinner, I wish them all such good luck because they really are terrific. So it's our pleasure.
Thank you. This morning I had the pleasure of attending and speaking at this morning's Pasadena Moving Up. It's always amazing to go to all of our moving ups and graduations, but so sweet at the elementary level. The kids are so excited, and they sing their songs, and the teachers are crying. It's very special. I also want to say how wonderful it was to have an air-conditioned room to enjoy the moving up. One of the things that was really special, each moving up at the elementary level has a different flavor, I guess reflects the building. And this was such a sweet thing. There were four students who spoke about their appreciation for PTA. And it was very, very nice to hear. One negative thing that I want to share, not about the moving up, but I noticed as I looked around the room, the students were crowded on the risers. There were guests in the audience that had to stand because they were out of room. They couldn't put more chairs in. And it's such a special time. I think we've outgrown where we hold our elementary moving ups. So as we continue our bond work and capital work, and we're going to redo our elementary auditorium at Stratford Road, maybe we need to think about giving each school a morning or an afternoon to showcase how special they are in a place where the guests are comfortable and the students are comfortable. So just my suggestion as we move forward. But it was a beautiful moving up.
I would like to thank Debbie Bernstein for her year's service as a board president. And on behalf of the board, hold on. Everything was sitting here, not sitting it before. These are for you.
Thank you.
It's not.
Thank you.
It's not easy being a board president. Everybody looks, you only make some of the people happy some of the time, and everybody else complains. Every once in a while, somebody says thank you. But getting a board to consensus, working to make us a team, being the person who's the rah-rah, the cheerleader, and everything else, Debbie exemplifies what a president is all about. It has been my pleasure to be your vice president for the last 2 years, and the special friendship that has evolved between us. But more than that, it's a credit to our school district when board members give the time they do, and the board president hears from 6 individuals many, many times during the week, just with a little, you know, I just want to give you a heads up, or maybe I'm a little upset about that. How are we going to handle this? Well, what should we do? Everything is thought out before we get here in the evening about these are the problems, how are we going to handle it. We're going to open up our discussions on the public floor. You never know when a wild card is going to happen, who's going to come to yell at us for something we didn't do. So being a board president, being a board member, you give up most of your family and most of your time. And because of that, we have something else special for you. And this is for you. It's a vase to put your flowers in.
How thoughtful!
And can you read it? I can't. It's really just kind of. Whatever it's our total gratitude to Debbie. It just really has her name in the years.
That's
that
her
she
name in the years.
Oh, okay. Debbie Bernstein, Board of Education, President, 2017-2018.
Thank you.
Very nice.
I was going to say this at the end, but now I'll say it now. It's really been my honor to be board president and vice president for the past 4 years. And I really want to thank you, my fellow board, for your trust and confidence in my ability, and I truly hope I've lived up to your expectations. I'd like to thank Ginger and the rest of the board for all your support and help. Being a board member isn't easy. Well, isn't always easy. Sometimes it is. And we all put in a lot of work, but the rewards are priceless and can be seen this week as we attend our students moving up in graduation ceremonies. I'd like to thank Dr. Lewis and Central Administration for making us partners and always doing what's in the best interest for children. I'd like to thank our district clerk and our central support staff and our attorneys for always doing what needs to be done and helping us to do our jobs. And finally, our administrators, teachers, staff members, and parents for working with us and always putting children first. Thank you. Okay, with that, we're going to go to superintendent announcements.
Well, I'd like to add my thank you to you, Debbie, because I've worked with you. I know your number on speed dial in both ways at home, and you're always available, and you truly, truly, truly do put kids first. And you've served this district in so many ways. I'm going to miss you as president. I really am. Thank you. So we have a few things that I need to announce. One, the three items that are just informational. One is that Fern Place is a school that we own and is occupied by tenants, ACDS, and they have expressed an interest in purchasing the property, and the board will be taking doing the research necessary and taking up that discussion in July. So at the July meeting, and as as you know, we usually have several board meetings before any final action. So if you're away for the summer, you can join us in September to continue the discussion. But the discussions will start in September for the next three things. That's Fern Place. We also noticed that when we had our voting for the school boards, we were reflective of the fact that we have control over where we vote. We don't have control over where we vote for the local Nassau County or federal or state elections, but we certainly do have control over where we vote for school boards and budget elections. And so we currently are housed in schools for POB Middle School and Old Beth Page and Jamaica Avenue. And so the board would like to consider looking at the voting sites for the school boards that will not impact our schools or school day. So that will be taken up and discussed in July. The third thing, as we look at our enrollments at the two middle school, we have noticed that one is fast growing and the other is losing numbers, for now anyway. The housing patterns have changed, and our POB Middle School is taking in 10 sections on a grade level, while Matlin is 7 sections on a grade level. So if you look at it over 4 years, you're going, right now, we have almost a whole grade level's difference. And so the board will be looking at what solutions can be had to address the differences in enrollment. And that will, again, start in July. Okay, several parents alerted me to the pattern for next year's calendar. If we follow the pattern for moving up, which would be the last day of school, would be the moving up ceremonies for the two middle schools, and you work backwards, we would have some difficulties with, admittedly, a large group of young people who do go away for sleepaway camp, and not that we're encouraging that, but we do have to recognize that that it is a huge part of people's lives and culture. So we have backed into making sure that we started with the high school graduation keeping the high school graduation exactly where it is, which is similar to what we have this year. It will be that Sunday, and then we will have the Matlin and POB Middle Schools moving up ceremony on the Friday. I just want to caution you that the moving up ceremonies, of course, Stratford Road is always a standalone because it is a centered program, but because we don't want to shut school down for a whole week and 3 days, we are going to end up having multiple moving up ceremonies on the Thursday, so that we would still maintain the same number of school days. So we would have the other three, but that doesn't mean you can't have it at different times, so that we could accommodate some in the morning, some in the afternoon. We'll see, because we will have the Stratford Road auditorium available by next June. No?
Air conditioning, maybe not.
Okay. All right, so for next year, which is quite an unusual year, we are going to accommodate the moving up ceremonies, and the calendars will reflect that. So that's, and I just want to say this morning, as we walked into the Pasadena moving up ceremony, something new, refreshing, and wonderful, the fourth grade band played Pomp and Circumstance. And it was amazing. How great is that? Our music program has been so lifted that the fourth grade band played Pomp and Circumstance. That is huge for an elementary school. So keep watching for what we're going to do musically at the elementary schools next year. I think we have quite a wonderful challenge that Mr. Rogers, I've challenged him to step up with a fourth grade musical ensemble once we have the auditorium available with an all-district festival for all of our performing groups, because we could do it. And finally, I want to report, last Monday, Governor Cuomo visited the high school. He was drawn to the high school because of their response, the kids' response to the memories of the Parkland students and the way they celebrated that. And he came with an ensemble in a yellow school bus to announce a particular piece of legislation called the Red Flag legislation. The highlight for the students would be when they all, the kids who organized it, opened their yearbooks, and he signed every one of them. The members of the student government and Matt Monk were also available, and Maria Carnesi spoke in support of this particular legislation. It was a good day for Plainview. I think we looked, we came off looking well, and I think I want to thank the high school for planning that ceremony. I think that's it for me.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to go on to a sad part of our agenda, and that's the retirement recognition. Happy and sad. So, Dr. Moore.
Thank you, Debbie. So tonight, as we do annually, we celebrate and we recognize all those who have given years and years of service to the Plainview Old Bethpage School District and the students. And when you start looking at the number of students that a teacher or an educator or a social worker or a psychologist or a clerical or an aide's impact over a period of career, it comes up to the thousands per person. And that is truly amazing when you look at the generations and generations of kids that you've serviced over the years. Tonight we have 22 people that are retiring from the district this school year or have retired during the school year. 10 of them are joining us tonight to be recognized. And I'd ask that Mr. Murray, who's got the largest number tonight, 5, come up and speak about his members.
Thank you very much, Dr. Molieri, and good evening, everybody. Before I begin, I, of course, as the president of ASDA, the administrative unit, I do want to thank Ms. Bernstein and, of course, Ginger Lieberman.
I'm just going to move this up. Sure.
Thank you. Usually it has to be lowered for me. And, of course, the members of our Board of Education. Yes, thank you for your service for the year. We greatly appreciate it as well. Dr. Molinari, you were just mentioning about the thousands of years. I'm bringing to you tonight 175 years worth of education committed to the Plainview Old Bethpage School District on behalf of the 7 members that are retiring this year. Tonight I have 5, as you had mentioned, 5 teachers. Besides those two, I have a clerical, a library clerical, named Suzanne Lorenz, who is retiring after 29 years. I do want to acknowledge her efforts, as well as one of our school psychologists, Dr. Gloria Rothenberg, retiring after 19 years. And we wish them the very best of health and happiness in their next journey. Now I'd like to ask to join me up at the microphone here, Nick DeMaria. And Joyce. His chairperson, Joyce Barry, as well, will be joining us. And Nick is joined this evening by his wife, lovely wife Helen, and daughter Victoria, and her boyfriend Michael. So we thank them for being here as well. Nick is a very interesting story behind Nick. He actually graduated from the Plainview School District, JFK, in 1977. He studied earth science and biology in college, a master in computer education. He returned to become a regular substitute in our district during the 1988-1989 school year, and by September 1990, he was a full-time staff member. He truly has a passion for science. It's something that he lives, breathes, talks about all the time, teaching earth science, environmental science, biology, living environment, chemistry, marine science, astronomy, and research. You need time to talk to Nick, because I have to tell you, he just has such passion for everything that he has to talk about, and he's a wealth of knowledge. The various sciences, how they interact with one another, is something that he gives his greatest pleasure in talking to students and getting that connections across. Outside of school, very interesting to know, Nick knows everything there is about Star Trek, the Beatles, 70s and 80s pop culture. And, you know, we thought we were creative this past year when we came up with our Snow Day video, but actually not so much. Nick pretty much did it his own way back in the day with his Sean Connery impersonations.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
and the members in his department really missed those days when they would get the wake-up call from Sean Connery telling them that there would be no school. Yes, exactly. So, Nick, we wish you the best of health and happiness in your next journey. Congratulations.
No, no, no. It's in a box.
It's not an amoeba, paramecium.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And now if Joyce could stay up here, I'm going to invite her as well, Mary Lou Fallon. Another one of our science teachers, Mary Lou. One of the sweetest people you'll ever want to meet. Biology teacher at POBJFK, started out as a regular sub as well in the 1985 school year. She started teaching AP and Regents Biology, and then she got moved over to POB Middle School, where she was there for 15 years, I understand. But her passion was to teach biology and get back to the high school, and that's when they brought her back. Fortunately for us, she taught Regents, Special Class, ICT, Living Environment, Environmental Science, DNA, Biotechnology, and Research. She really enjoys using different strategies in her teaching, using gizmos, flip lessons, incorporating animations, and of course using the Chromebooks as a resource in her class. She definitely employs alternative methods for solving problems. Outside of the classroom, she's very involved in relief efforts and has brought that to her students through Girls Learn International, the Relay for Life, and of course the Red Cross. Mary Lou is a marathon runner running in the New York City Marathon. I'm sorry?
It's Long Island Marathon.
Oh, I'm sorry, the Long Island Marathon.
That was my error. Still the same distance.
That Joyce. Anyway, she's going to enjoy her time with her husband, Michael, who, of course, also is a former employee from POB, working in buildings and grounds. And, of course, time with her son, Joseph, who's a student at Princeton, and he studies and plays ice hockey. So we wish you the very best of luck and health and happiness as well in your future. And now if I could ask Susan Mark to join me. I'd ask Miss Lagatuda, but she's got a bum leg. She's there. Susan is joined by her husband, Scott, tonight. We welcome him as well to this important celebratory occasion. Susan joined our district in September of the year 2000. Her knowledge of mathematics is really incomparable. The care, concern that she gives to her students, both inside and outside of the class, whether it be for teaching her lessons or remedial or, of course, with her club activities, is just really commendable. She's always tried to encourage her students to reach their potential, showing mutual respect for them, they do for her. She's one teacher I honestly have never gotten a complaint about. Students love her, they enjoy being in her class and learning from her. She's been a judge at the Long Island Math Fair, a mathletes advisor when her colleague had to go out on maternity leave. She stepped up to the plate. She was a class advisor, if I remember correctly, as well, most recently. She taught Algebra 2, Trigonometry, Geometry, Common Core Algebra 2, Honors. If you recall, we've had a couple of night meetings that she came up and spoke on some difficult, challenging, topics. And she was really a go-to person for many, of course, the staff members as well as parents who were there that night. She's extremely thoughtful in her lesson planning and preparation, creating assessments that are standards-based and truly aligned to the curriculum. Ms. Mark has such high standards, and she's really a woman of great integrity. And for that, the math department is going to be missing her, and I especially will miss her. But in the coming future, she's going to enjoy her time as preparing for her daughter's wedding, her son and daughter-in-law's birth of their first grandchild. So she has a lot of good things, lined up on the agenda, which is just the way to finish one career and move on to something else. We're going to miss you greatly, Susan Mark, and we wish you the best of everything.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Don Page, could you join me? And Joyce, do you want to come back up? Joyce is busy tonight. Thank you, Jen.
Busy night. One more.
Okay. Don joined our school district in September of 1990 as a technology teacher, but over the years he's been in many different buildings throughout the district teaching not only technology but art education. He is very creative, thoughtful, interested in being a better teacher and helping his students to become better students. He's always up to date with how students learn and using the best strategies that he can to help support his lessons. We will truly miss him as he goes on to retirement and wish him the best of health and happiness in the future.
Thank you.
And next, Margot Waldman. And I think Ellie Becker is here as well. No? Come on, Margot. How are you?
Good.
Good. Margot's joined by her husband this evening as well. We welcome him tonight. Margot joined our school district in September of the year 2000 as a special education teacher with a certification K through 12. Margot has just great respect for her students and her parents, such great relationships working together with her students as well as with her colleagues. She's demonstrated great knowledge of the content area and has always been a team player working with her colleagues. She's always been able to give that great balance to the emotional support needed for her students as well as of course, their academic needs as well. She communicates regularly with the parents and is very pleasant, always punctual to work on time with her big cup of, is it iced tea? I see it every morning. And I would always tease her about as I'm greeting students. She's one of the early risers getting to school so early in the morning to prepare for her lessons. She always is very positive and thoughtful about her students, and we're truly going to miss her in the special education department. Wish you the best of health and happiness in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Murray, and congratulations to those staff members who are retiring. Job well done. I'd like to ask Dr. Joe Coladonato to come up and speak about his family members that are retiring.
Thank you, Dr. Lewis. Thank you, Dr. Mulieri. Thank you to the board. Thanks for having me. Is this on? It doesn't sound loud enough at all, and I welcome the community as well. So before we honor Toby Epstein and Charlie Mento, who both have family members here, I also want to just mention that Jack McCain, one of our custodians, retired, who had joined the district in 1997. So he's part of the retirement group at Matlin. So we're going to start out with Toby. Toby joined the Plainview Old Bethpage schools in 1986. By the way, I had a really long version of this speech, so I have the shorter version here, so no one falls asleep, and I'm going to ask Toby to actually come up here as well. So I do have the shorter version. It shouldn't take 2 hours like we did at the retirement party. During her tenure with the school district, Toby provided children with the opportunity to emerge as readers, developed memorable lessons, and helped build confidence in all of her students. As she began her career, it was evident that Toby had boundless compassion and enthusiasm. Her rapport with students and staff reflects warmth, care, respect, and fairness toward all. Toby's pedagogical style provided care for children, and it reflected how deeply involved she was in helping students achieve their personal goals. Toby established herself as a teacher who facilitates engaging, goal-oriented, safe, challenging, and developmentally appropriate lessons for her children. Toby consistently devoted her time and energy in providing the best possible opportunities for her students. By virtue of her professionalism and character, Toby's experience and devotion has left her footprints on the people she interacted with on a daily basis. I am confident that her influence will live on at Matlin for many years to come. Although Toby will certainly enjoy her retirement, her well-deserved retirement, the students and staff at Howard B. Matlin will surely miss her. Congratulations, Toby. I'm going to invite Charlie Mento to come up here as well. Hi, Charlie.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Just a couple of words, okay?
91.
Okay. Charlie just told me that he started 10 years before I have on here. No, I'm kidding. Just a couple of years we missed it by. Charlie joined the Plainview Old Bethpage School District in 1991. During his tenure as a special education teacher, he established himself as a teacher who was compassionate for children, compassionate about children, and understands their unique challenges. Charlie fostered a positive environment for all students to feel comfortable and facilitated challenging yet developmentally appropriate lessons. Charlie is the consummate professional, and his special relationship with his students reflects care, respect, and kindness. Charlie's passion and commitment to our students was universally recognized by the Matlin staff. Charlie's pedagogical style provided care for children, and it reflected how deeply Charlie cared for them and helped them to achieve their personal goals. In addition to working collaboratively and intimately with his colleagues to establish these appropriate goals and providing opportunities for students by working on strategies and techniques, Charlie's most impressive skill is developing meaningful relationships filled with trust and belief that children engage in meaningful learning that will last a lifetime. One of the true legacies that Charlie will impart on our school's community as he leaves for retirement is the constant humanity by which he shared with his colleagues and his students. While Charlie will deservedly appreciate his retirement, he will be missed by staff and students at Howard B. Matlin. Thank you, Charlie, and congratulations.
I just wanted to add Charlie's dedication to all those students that sometimes found it difficult to learn. There was not a year that went by that we didn't get a letter requesting Mr. Mento as their child's resource room teacher, or a letter from our parent extolling his virtues. So, congratulations. You must be too young to retire, though. But we wish you lots of good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Coldonato and Ms. Becker. And congratulations to Toby and Charlie. If I can ask Ms. Gray and Ms. Becker to come back up.
I'd like to ask Mr. Galloway, please, to join us. Thank you. Congratulations, everyone, on your retirements. Mr. Galloway joined the Plainview Old Bethpage family in 2011 as the social worker for Judy Jacobs Parkway and Old Bethpage Elementary Schools. One of the earliest memories I have of Mr. Galloway, it was on a weekend. Some of the students were in a run out in Hexter State Park. I got lost. It's very difficult to find your way around. But I saw this happy face waving in a bright yellow shirt, and Mr. Galloway was standing there with a big smile, rooting for some of his students. He actually took the time over the weekend to go and cheer on some of his children. He's touched the lives of so many students and families in both of our schools. We're very lucky to have him. Let me see what I have here. He's gone above and beyond to support and provide the students with skills and confidence that they need to meet, greet, work with, collaborate students in the classroom, but also skills that will be necessary in their everyday lives. He has, on numerous occasions, met with parents before school, after school, and he has been just an unbelievable support system to the families of Old Bethpage, the children of Old Bethpage. Mr. Sesney says the same about Judy Jacobs Parkway. And now, after 40 years of working as a social worker, he will now take his beautiful wife, Helen, down to Florida to enjoy the next phase of his life. So we congratulate you. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all that you've done for the children and the families of our schools. We wish you lots of health and happiness. Congratulations.
Mr. Galloway's passion, for those that don't know, has been really to work with students in bullying prevention. He's been very involved with CAPS, always entering his students in contests, which they always win, and he's always been so proud of proud of them. It was really kind of a surprise when he came to me to tell me about his retirement, as he's really only been with us for a short while, and he will be missed by the students and the parents, and Florida's gain, New York's loss. Lots of good luck in your new ventures.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations, Mark. Thank you, Ms. Gray. Thank you, Ms. Becker. If I can ask Mr. Donnarumma to come up, please.
Good evening, everyone. At this time, if I could ask Mark Donovan to come join me at the microphone, please. Definitely a happy day for Mark, sad day for myself and the department, to be quite honest with you. This is not something I'm looking forward to sending Mark off with. Just a couple words about Mark and definitely some great work that he's done. Mark has definitely been a trusted source of transportation information as well as other information throughout the district for many years. Mark began his career at POB on September 12th, 1983, and spent the next 35 years within the district. During his time at POB, Mark served the district in the roles of motor vehicle operator, groundskeeper, stores clerk, and the last 20-plus years he served within the transportation office as an assistant transportation dispatcher, as well as a transportation specialist, which he currently is. As Mark gets ready to begin his new part of his life in retirement, I am confident he's going to be remembered at POB, most of all for his dedication and hard work to the community. In my past 2 years with Mark, he has consistently taken the time to listen to parents and staff and consistently brings forth insightful ideas regarding how to implement solutions to possible problems. Most of all, I've been impressed with Mark's focus on consistently doing what is in the best interest of student. Mark is someone within the office that I'd never have to worry about knowing what to do in an emergency or crisis. Not that we ever have those, Mark. For sure. It seems like yesterday that Mark had asked to meet with me one morning. Honestly, I was caught off guard. I thought he was going to ask me for a day off, but instead he wanted to share that he was thinking about retirement. And that's one of the most special things about Mark is that it's never end around. It's never that you find out through the grapevine. He's always doing the right thing that I'm most impressed about. Of course, he consulted with the experts in retirement, and Mark came back with a smile on his face not too long after that and informed me that he was looking to retire at the end of the school year. On July 2nd, Mark will enter into retirement, and I am proud to say he's finishing his career by demonstrating dedication to the community, working hard, and most of all, he's finishing his career with class. Mark, you've been a great resource to the department, the district, as well as myself. On behalf of the district, POB wishes you well in retirement and sincerely hopes that you have the opportunity to spend quality time with family and friends. Thank you.
Congratulations, Mark. You're welcome. Thank you, Mr. Donnarumma. Mark, turn around. I'd like to ask Dr. Allison Clark to please come to the mic.
Don't worry, you don't have to readjust this for me. I would like to invite up Karen Psyllis. First, I would just like to begin by acknowledging one of my custodians who is also retiring, Bruce Alwheel, after 30 years of dedication to Plainville Bethpage. We did present, actually, the... yes, I did. Well, you sent it to me. So we presented that to him already. So actually, Karen gets to hear this a second time. Because at her retirement dinner, these were the words that I spoke, and as I was thinking about it earlier today, I said, I really would like to share these words with everybody tonight. In Mosaic of Thought, Ellen Oliver Keene and Susan Zimmerman wrote about the mosaic each of us creates as we read, a mosaic constructed of diverse pieces, each integral to the whole, each essential to the texture of learning. Karen, as a special education aide and a bus matron and union representative, and I've probably missed some other things that you've done over the years, you are with your students all of the time, in the classroom as you support academic learning, at specials as you ensure success, at luncheon recreation as you monitor social situations, and all of those in-between times, like the hallway and those other things, right? I would say that if we apply this quote to you, you are actually the glue to the mosaic, bringing together the pieces to make a whole. Karen, you've touched the lives of so many since 1996 with all of your ever-important roles. You will be greatly missed. We wish you the very best as you move on to the next part of your journey.
Congratulations, Karen. Thank you, Dr. Clark.
I'm going to ask everyone to stay for another couple of minutes. We are going to take out of order, it's actually in order, but we'll vote after, recognition of tenure.
Tonight we have two people that will be recommended for tenure, two administrators, and Dr. Lewis will come up and speak on their behalf. And for waiting around, there'll be cake after this. Just trying to keep you interested and around, folks.
It is my pleasure to speak on behalf of Alice Bowman. Alice, come on up. And I see that she's here with her family. Hello. Hi. Well, Alice has been the principal of Plainview Old Bethpage Middle School for the last 3 years. Alice took on the leadership following someone who was beloved, and she has carved her own niche at Peabody Middle School, making it her own, setting expectations for high achievement and engagement with sensitivity and finesse. In her first year as a principal, she was plunged into a rather bumpy implementation of one-to-one. I can't believe that we got through it. We had purchased a particular piece of software that was immediately defunct before we actually got it. So we actually didn't spend any money for the public. We did not actually, but we spent no money, but we were about to. And then she had to quickly help us put together a plan for the Chromebooks, which we now have. She has attended to such things as increasing numbers of students participating in mathematics at a challenge level. In 2015-16, I believe your first year, 48% of the students were challenging algebra. And last year was close to 60%. I don't know what it is yet this year, but certainly she has attended to challenging all students. She has a keen eye for recruiting and nurturing staff that can help her move the instructional mission forward. It is therefore no wonder that you can see in her classroom such things as Socratic dialogue and the utilizing of Z-Space in her classrooms, science projects that are real-life, hands-on, Stream Day, which I know along with her partner, Dorothy, was a major event in her building where students and staff work together to help support the United Nations sustainable goals and inquiry-based projects with such dynamic presentations. I remember that day when students left that building so inspired by what they had participated in. She builds the master schedule, although I've been encouraging her to give that up, but she does. She's really fun in her office because she spends her time monitoring instruction in her classrooms, and during learning walks, she demonstrates the ability to identify work that is instructionally aligned with district's expectation. She really does have the language of instruction down pat. Keep going. I described her in my recommendation to the board as the just right educator to lead POB Middle School to a new era of extraordinary greatness. She has a keen sense of bringing out the best in her learners and staff and challenging them. To be at their very best. She's a scholar herself, steeped in the language of literacy, and knows what sound instruction looks like. She has strong relationships with her colleagues. I remember that first year when you were so involved in our on-conference, and she's an integral part of our team. The recommendation of granting tenure is an honor that superintendents hold in highest regard. Principal Bowman possesses qualities that will establish Plainview Old Beth Page Middle School as a place where others will visit to observe best practices for generating the highest standards in student achievement while providing parents and students with memorable life experiences. It gives me, therefore, great pleasure to recommend this outstanding principal to the status of tenure in the Plainview Old Beth Page Schools. Her whole team is here. Okay. And my second, if the reason these tenures are outside of the other tenure is because they both started August 1st, right? So 1 month later. So the second person is an integral member of our central office team, Mr. Cunningham. Would you come over, please? Now, Mr. Cunningham came to our district as already a successful member of a central office team, as he came from West Hempstead, who I was the deputy superintendent in West Hempstead for both business and curriculum, both as deputy for business and assistant superintendent for curriculum. So he has a wide background in central office jobs, but it is for business that we really, 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 he stepped in at a critical time in our district and has just seamlessly folded himself into the operations. He came in August, as I said, just as the state controller's audit was published, and it was his job to explain to the public the findings that the state controller had. So one of the first meetings that he had, was a rather contentious meeting with some of our residents who had read the findings. But I tell you, the way he presented the facts as they were, I think everybody left feeling very, very satisfied with the explanation, and they knew that the business of the school was in good hands. He then was, again, 2014, we had our bond, and it was his job to deliver on the bond. So the other assistant superintendent of business had helped us through getting the bond passed, but it was his job to see it to fruition. So between the 2014 bond, the $5 million a capital reserve, plus another $20 million, he's really supervised about $70 million worth of facility works. So if you look across the district, you can see his handiwork. You can see the POB Middle School track, that almost all the roofs,
Not the boilers. You can't get credit for the boilers. You do get credit, though, for taking out the boilers when it was freezing cold one spring when it was supposed to be warm, and it was the coldest spring that we ever had. Yes. So you do get credit for that. He helped us. He helped us navigate through the kindergarten center closing, the addition of Judy Jacobs Parkway, a classroom addition, and the Pasadena addition, and then this past week, year, the administrative annex that we've just built on, reconstructed at Stratford Road. The most important thing, though, that we have really come to value is the way he handles our budget cycle. I think everyone will see that the budget is presented in a very transparent manner. The board sees, and you will see tonight, the reserve plan, because that's required. Yes, yes. The reserve plan, which is required to be presented annually, he will present that. And he goes over a five-year reserve plan with the board. The fact that the passage rate for our budget is 70% is no coincidence, because people feel that it's been clearly explained and we have spent our monies wisely, I believe. Our AAA bond rating, which everybody can understand, it keeps the cost of borrowing money down, is preserved by the way he operates our budget. And there are many other things that he has been involved in. Certainly he has funded the one-to-one initiative and also the smart bonds. He also, because we do have two tenants, we have Fern Place and we have Jamaica Avenue. We actually have three tenants, two at Jamaica Avenue and one at Fern Place. And he handles all of the complaints and any things that he has to address. Safety and security remains a high priority in Mr. Cunningham's office. And so whenever there's, so for example, 2 years ago we had that lead issue where with the water. He had to handle that and follow the code and do the testing. Whenever there is a building testing for asbestos removal, he makes sure that that's also done well. In addition to that, Mr. Cunningham is a leader. When I tell you, he is one, they're one of two assistant superintendents of business that everybody refers to. He does presentations all over the state, and he serves on the board of NYSER. He's provided the leadership to assist the Board of Education to make sound decisions in such critical areas as negotiations. That's coming up again. As soon as you finish one cycle, you start another. The way he presents the finances helps us to really be fair to our employees, as we do believe that they deserve what deserve what they get. No, we do mean it positively. They really do deserve. All right, Nina? Okay. So facilities, maintenance, planning, transportation, all of this comes under his bailiwick. He's one of those rare talents that we happen to possess in our district. Because he's here. And he brings us assurance that we have a firm hand at the wheel to manage that department. With the many financial challenges that face us in the near future, it is heartwarming to know that we can count on his keen financial acumen and strong work ethic to guide this critical area of the operation. So it's my esteemed privilege to recommend someone of the highest caliber of leadership, Mr. Richard Cunningham, to be granted tenure as the Assistant Superintendent of Business.
Not yet, Rich. Congratulations, Rich. Thank you, Dr. Lewis. Congratulations, Alice.
I'd like to congratulate all of our retirees and our two staff members who received tenure, or will receive tenure in 1 second. Can we take it out of order? Can I have a motion to grant tenure? Seth, second. Ginger, all those in favor? And now please join us for some coffee. No coffee, just cake. Oh, we have coffee in the atrium. And we hope you'll stay for the rest of our meeting. Thank you. Just wait. Oh. Now, I know, it's so exciting. We're going to go on to the reserve plan. Mr. Cunningham.
Thank you. I know this is the highlight of the evening. So, I will move this through this, hopefully make it understandable. Every year we do present the reserve plan, and at this meeting, the Board of Education passes a resolution to reaffirm the existing reserves and also set maximum funding levels for the reserves as of June 30th, 2018. So we'll move through. That's not working. Here we go. That's a little weird. We'll try another button. Okay, so this presentation is posted on the website. We have definitions for the reserves that we have, and of course the board could have established other reserves if they saw the need. However, these are the current reserves with the current level of funding. We have a reserve for retirement contributions. That's only for the employee retirement system, ERS system. We cannot create a reserve for the teacher's retirement system. It's not allowed by general municipal law. Reserve for accrued employee benefits liability, otherwise known as sick day payout. The reserve for unemployment insurance and unemployment costs. We have a repair reserve, which you recall we used this year. We had a public hearing for the use of that reserve last July to do some emergency repair work in the Matlin Middle School Atria area. And then we have three capital reserves that we, one that was established in 2010, another that was established in 2015, and then the one that was established in 2017. There was a capital reserve that was established in 2014 that has been completely expended, so you don't see it on the slide. All right, and as I said, the current funding is on the right-hand side of each of the pages. This is a little history of our total reserves. So the blue is assigned fund balance. So that is the amount of fund balance that was moved into the next fiscal year. These span bars span from the 12-13 fiscal year on the left to the 16-17 fiscal year on the right. And you'll see some trend that goes up and then down again. And most of that trend has to do with the creation and then expending of the capital reserves. You can see the blue section of this chart kind of, if we look at this section and compare it to its immediate right, you can see that the designated fund balance going into the 15-16 fiscal year was essentially cut in half. So previously, the board had been allocating about $4.6 million into the subsequent year's budget, and then going into the next fiscal year, we cut that in about half. And that's a sign that we started budgeting a bit more tightly. There wouldn't be as much left over at the end of the year to move into the next fiscal year. The purple part of the bar represents, all of the reserves put together, the ERS reserve, compensated absence reserve, capital reserves, and the bottom part of the bar is unassigned fund balance, generally looked at as the 4% of budget. Looked at more closely, this is looking at the 13-14 fiscal year on the left, going to the 16-17 fiscal year on the right, and this is showing some reserve history, reserve and fund balance history. The purple is the unemployment insurance reserve. You can see that is generally our smallest reserve, but it has experienced some growth as we appropriated more money into that. The yellow is reserve for retirement contributions. If you recall from the controller's audit going back 3.5 years ago now, the controller had some comments about our establishment and really the funding in the retirement reserve. So what we've done since then is we've established a 4-year rolling average to fund into that reserve. Our external auditors are agreeable with that, and certainly the controller's auditors have recently told us that they like that system. So what we really do is we take the last 3 years' projections and then look forward into the next fiscal year. So for example, in this particular fund balance plan, we're looking at our projection for ERS expenditures for the 18-19 fiscal year, and we use that as our 4-year average for a mathematical base. The orange represents the capital reserves, where we fund them, and then the following year we might expend, all right, and then we fund again. So that's where we see the greatest variety in our reserves. Our recommendations going into June 30th of 2018, here you can see the fund balance in this column as our balance as of May, and then our maximum recommended allocation into the reserves or the use of fund balance to arrive at a maximum amount to reaffirm, not including interest, as of June 2018. All of these recommendations will fall within our guidelines and also set maximums to put into the reserves. We might find when we close the books that we actually have somewhat less to put into these reserves. So with that, just adding a projection bar into 17-18, most of this increase, comparing 16-17 to our current year of 17-18, is a continued growth of our capital reserve. That was established by voters last year, and also a bit of a variation in our ERS reserve. The 4-year average actually ticks up because last year our ERS contribution had increased, so that flows through into the 4-year average. With that, I'm wondering if you have any questions.
I don't have any questions, just a comment. I think I say this every year and every time we talk about reserves, but in the tax levy cap era and the focus on these reserves, I think, is more and more important. And I wish the state legislature would actually take up some of the other ideas about reserves, like a TRS reserve, which in the tax levy cap era would allow districts to financially weather the proverbial storm that sometimes hits. POB has been able to get through the recession and the post-recession financial blues better than many other districts on Long Island, in large part because of what I'll call our common sense budgeting, but also the use of the reserves. And so, you know, for criticisms that the Comptroller's Office audit sometimes gives about doing everything we're doing is legal within the legal limits. And, you know, if it wasn't for these reserve fund balances, we wouldn't be able to do the kinds of programs and services, maintain and expand upon them the way that we have. And so, you know, I think, you know,
before. I know it's going to be something in new business that we're voting on, but I think it's important that we share this every year, but it's also important to note how important reserves are now more than ever. So.
The questions or comments? Thank you so much. And we will vote on it and under new business. Thank you. Okay. Now we're going to go on to the grading policy. Mr. Greenberg.
So several meetings ago, we shared that the policy committee was working on a grading policy. We've shared the grading policy. We gave opportunities for feedback. We circulated it, gave more opportunities. We tweaked it, circulated it. And I'm happy to say that we've received further feedback, and including from our student government, which was nice to see. I think a policy as important as this, it's important that we continue to get the feedback. So I know that we receive feedback from different groups. There are certain areas that I'm sure people want to discuss, but from a procedural standpoint, as long as there aren't more substantive issues, we can still modify, as I understand it, the current circulated draft grading policy before we move to make any adoption. I did want to just point out that we did receive feedback. And there are certain areas that I think we should discuss tonight that were common throughout. I'll let other people start the conversation, and then
thank you.
It's not
Ginger?
Addressed, then we'll address it.
Yeah, for those of you who are here when we really discussed it, obviously the quarterly grades is something that's very, very important to me, and we had a very energetic, passionate, what, however you want to view it. And I did look at a lot of the responses that people sent and comments and everything else, and trying to understand where everybody's coming from and doing what's right for kids, because this whole thing boils down what's fair for kids. And as I looked and saw how different this would have an impact, I would be willing to turn around and amend what I had made, which was grades 5 through 12, it should be a grade of 60, and change that to 55. My concern, and I'm just going to keep saying, is if we have kids who are struggling and they get 255s the first quarter, there's a problem. And we have to learn how are we going to recognize and how are we going to address it. A 55 for a fifth grader is not as bad as a 50. I worry about the kids in fifth and sixth grade that they would be getting grades like that. They can't fail a course and take it the next time over. We have different problems. They're still, in my mind, primarily elementary children moving on and seeing things differently. And just to be assured that we are going to look at those struggling children to make sure, and I'm sure there's not a lot, but children who are getting a 55 first semester, second semester, by the third, there is definitely a significant problem for these kids, and we have to have some responsibility to make sure we get them across the threshold. So as that was my passion, it is still my passion, but I will compromise and look at a 55 for the four quarters.
Okay, so you'll make a motion to do that when we're voting on
it. Yes.
You'll amend the... Oh, no, you don't have to amend it.
We could just... I can just
do
it now.
She can do it now?
That I can make a motion, right, to amend it from 60 to 55 per quarter.
Okay. I'll second that. Discussion? Rennell?
I go along totally with what Ginger is saying now, and my feelings are very similar. I don't want any child to ever feel that he or she is worthless or just can't make it. I don't want anybody feeling that they're just never going to get through a course. However, I do understand going from 60 to 55, and I feel there is a big difference between the fifth and sixth grade and the upper grades. So I totally agree.
But this is for every, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Any other discussion? All those in favor? Okay. Are there any other things that, Susan?
I would like to also thank the community and everyone for addressing and sharing their input. Also, we had discussed about waiting, and we were talking about AP waiting if a child does not sit for a exam. There was a recommendation brought to us through comments where it's actually Dr. Lewis had brought it to us, and some districts honor the rigor of the AP course by allowing the waiting to be 5% or whatever their college class would be. So in our case, it would be 5% versus the 7%. Because it's a little bit, in my mind, we want to encourage the students to sit for the exams. But it's a little punitive to say to a student, especially their senior year, where they're probably taking the bulk of their, we're going to go back and call your colleges, we're going to claw back your grades and reassess everything. It's scary to a student for that letter to come from guidance in January that it says, you know, we're going back, if you don't sit for this, we're going to claw back and redo your grades. It would be more encouraging to say, please sit for it. I think the lens that the message comes to encourage the sitting for the exam might be a little bit better from a different point of view. But it also could be understandable that in physics, mechanics, physics, which is physics C now, we require students to sit for two APs in that class, not one physics, but two. And then they also need to sit for a final. In physics C, there's two physics at the, two AP physics. Well, I don't think the students get that quite, that message.
They have two courses. One is mechanics, which is semester one, and electricity and magnetism.
Which they're explain to them that they need to sit for both of those APs. Well, with that, it wasn't quite explained in with the guidance letter that came out saying that you need to register for all of those things. It made it sound so. Anyway, so the grading policy. So I would like to reintroduce that based on Dr. Lewis's recommendation to us that we would give.
I want you to.
I wasn't recommending. I suggested that might be
okay.
An option.
Okay.
That was a compromise between not considering, but I'm not recommending one way or the other.
Okay. So by sharing the information that other districts do allow yes. students to have a weighting of 5% and not nothing, because the class is still rigorous, they are still taking the midterm, they're still taking the quarterlies, they're still taking the final, because the AP is not the final for the class, and they are abiding by our grading policy with midterms, quarterlies, tests, projects, or everything else, that the rigor of the class is still there. And I would like to introduce that we go to a 5% weighting if a student should not take, I don't think there will be a lot, but it should not take the AP
exam.
Okay,
so are you making a motion to do that?
I would like to make a motion to do that.
Okay. A second?
I'll second for
discussion. Okay. Ginger seconded it for discussion.
Before
okay.
you do that.
Yeah.
Understand that if a student does not sit for the AP exam, the transcript does not have AP on it. That is College Board, that you don't, you do not, so you would, as
that would
is
be a
now,
push.
Is an advanced, it, on the transcript it would say advanced whatever, but it
advanced.
Does not say AP.
But again, that would be part of the conversation that a parent, a student, and a guidance counselor could have
I
when deciding that.
I just wanted to be sure that people understand that you don't get the AP designation.
But also I would like people to understand that the AP is not the final for GPA in our district. That exam does not count into the GPA.
Right.
They still have to sit for quarterlies, projects,
right.
and everything else. They're not doing that. They're just not.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I just don't want it to be, as Ginger said, I don't think we should be punitive. We should be encouraging, and, you know, that's my point of view on this.
Comments? Seth?
Yes, and now on the motion. So I viewed a little differently. I'm sure you're shocked to hear.
We've had that conversation.
The expectation when you sign up for an advanced placement course is to take the advanced placement exam. To permit that student to, they get to choose to take it or not. If they don't take it, the way I see it is, the way that the policy is, it makes sense. The deterrent is you don't sit for the exam, you don't get the designation, and you don't get the 7% credit. If, using your example of seniors, because it seems like that's the primary target of this discussion, even though freshmen, sophomore, and juniors could be impacted, is a senior would sign up for however many AP courses. It's on the transcript as they apply for colleges. They get the 7% weighting. And now they either hear back or don't hear back. They use the fact that they took the AP exams to promote themselves, the rigor, as well as to promote themselves. And then once they hear back, they say, I don't want to take it anymore. And then you're rewarding them with still a 5% weighting when they could have just signed up for an honors physics or an honors calc and still have gotten the 5% weighting. And they essentially took the AP with, and everyone knows that the expectation is to sit for the exam. You're really not, I mean, you said you want to encourage, by putting that safety valve in, you're discouraging them, in my view, from taking and sitting for the AP exam itself. So I don't see that, I mean, I don't see that as a solution that should be in our grading policy.
Does anybody else have any comments? Okay, go ahead.
So, one, the AP exam just buys a credit. It doesn't disavow the class has a rigor to it. You are awarded college credit based on your score, not based on your classwork. Colleges will see your classwork because it's on your transcript, but you do not have to sit for a class in order to take an exam. We've had students sit for Chinese. We have students sit for micro when we only give macro. We do not require a college level class that a student must buy the credits. They sit for the class, it's still given. We SUPA included, we do not make them buy those credits, but they're sitting for the class and we're still giving them a 5% because it's an honor level. There's a rigor to the class. Just because you don't sit for the exam does not take away the rigor that you sat for the 180 days worth of classes. You're still sitting for your midterm. You're still sitting for your finals. You're still expected to perform at a certain level at that class. All you're doing is opting out of the credit or the potential of the awarding of the credit by not sitting for it. And yes, and the conversation would be, we will take the AP designation off, and we will adjust your transcript for that. Again, it's a conversation aside from. But
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I don't think it's a conversation. I think College Board says you can't include advanced placement.
No, if a student doesn't want to take the...
No, she's saying the conversation between, I guess, the guidance counselor, the teacher.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, I don't think we have a choice
in terms of putting it
on the transcript.
I'm talking about if the child's going to sit for the exam is the conversation. But realize that the exam is just for credit. Just like if you don't want to pay $600 for SUPA or the $600 for Adelphi Spanish College. Also, we don't have designation of honors calculus. We don't have a designation of honors physics anymore. We've taken those levels away. The option's not there. You have regular Regents or you have AP in many cases.
So what you're saying is this is kind of like a backdoor to having an honors designation.
I only brought it up because Seth said it. I wasn't thinking of it as a backdoor. I was still thinking that it is a rigorous class. They're still going to be prepared for. They're still sitting. I really wasn't thinking that. But
chemistry.
But there is no honors physics.
I believe there's
honors chemistry, but
there's honors chemistry. There's honors.
But you don't have honors
bio.
But you don't have honors American studies anymore. You don't have.
We're going to revisit that. Yes, so, we are.
Okay, well, I'm not getting
frameworks right. Yeah,
not going there. But we don't have an honors calculus. We have either college level or AP, which is technically both rigorous college level work, and calculus is a
college course.
But we don't have an. I'm answering a.
There is no
statement.
Such thing as a non-college
course. Dr.
Lusolmo
saying is answering a statement that Seth said, and I want to make sure that it's on record that we don't have honors. This is not a choice.
So just, again, this is all part of our discussion part. To the extent there is an honors class available, would that change your viewpoint? So would you consider modifying...
I don't know if it would. I mean,
would you consider modifying where there is no honors available, we give that as an option. But where there is an honors... You're choosing because it's just as rigorous. You're getting that 5%. It seems to me then, if there's an honors available, you choose to go to AP route. The expectation is you're not going honors. You're going AP. The expectation is to take the exam. But if there is no honors, then you get that ability. We're discussing it, right? So, I mean, would that be satisfactory?
I don't know, because you're in the middle of a class at that point. I'm not sure. You're still performing that rigorous
work. It has nothing
work.
To do with whether you're in the middle of class or not. If there's no honors option, there's no honors option.
Jody?
I have a question, and maybe this is a good one for the department chairs. For the courses where there is both an honors and an AP, is there much difference in the rigor of the course, or is the difference just if I take AP, I'm going for college credit, and if I take honors, I'm not, but the rigor level is pretty similar?
The reason that we got rid of the honors physics.
Yeah, it's
when the new physics exam for AP
that is the honors.
It is the exact same difficulty and content level. There was no difference
That's
in
true.
The curriculum to warrant having an honors level.
Right.
So you either take the New York State Regents Physics, or you take the AP Physics B, where you take the
which is the honors
exam in May, and then you sit for the Regents exam in June.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There is no difference in the curriculum to warrant another level.
Well, what about the classes where there is both an honor, say, like, you know,
chemistry?
Is there much of a difference in rigor between the honors level and the there is an AP?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Level 2. It's a college.
Okay, so you can take you have to take honors chemistry before you can take AP chemistry. It's not one or the other.
Yeah,
okay.
There are some other districts
yeah, other districts.
Okay.
They don't have success.
Okay.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor. Do you want to amend it based on what Seth said, or
I think it's about the rigor of the class, not necessarily sitting here deciding if I should take an honors. I think that's something that's discussed junior year in January. I think it's a matter of, you know.
Yeah. Ginger? I think I would like to say, can we hold this policy until the next board meeting so that we have time to think about it and if there are any other questions? Because I'm really not sure which way I'm going to go, and I would rather not abstain from a vote. Will we have enough time, the July 1st, 2nd?
Second.
I'm mindful of any substantive change needing to go out to the public again. So I my recommendation would be that you make a decision as to direction you're going to go in, but then adopt it on the July meeting if you consider that a substantive change. If you don't consider it a substantive change, then yes, you can go in that direction.
Could we just request feedback on the possibility of that change?
Right, but you've got to do the change. No, you should have to do the change to then get the feedback. So that's what I'm saying. You should make a change. Either don't make the change or leave it the way it is and get feedback on it. Like if you didn't make the change.
It's not in there now. So you're saying to add it and then get feedback?
No, leave it as
is. I'll
leave
it as is.
Leave it as is, and have people. I mean,
weigh in on it.
Did anyone in the public give an opinion on this besides Susan?
I think PTA Council did.
One on person that in particular PTA council gave
right.
that.
So that opinion. That's your indication. You have a policy. You send it out into the world for 1 month to get feedback. If you didn't get feedback on it, then you shouldn't be changing it. I'm just saying, if that's the purpose of circulating the policy. If you're thinking of making the change, then you make the change, you send it out into the world again, and get the feedback on it. But it seems to me that nobody else picked up on that. So,
okay, so what are we doing?
There's a motion.
So we should vote on the motion? Okay. There was a second.
So wait, is the motion Seth's?
No.
No, it's my original.
To change it to 5%.
So, the motion is, I just want to make sure that I understand what I'm voting on. The motion is that we want to amend the policy to say, I'm sorry.
Here's the policy.
But I'm loud enough anyway.
Do you want me to restate it?
What?
Would you like me to restate my motion?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Okay. So I would like to restate that to honor the rigor of an AP class, when a student does not sit for exam, the weighting will change from 7% to 5%.
Okay, so really what you're asking is that it be changed if a student, because you have to go back to the policy.
Yes, okay, so.
If a student does not sit for the assessment, there will be a weighting of 5%. That's the policy.
Well, for the AP course.
It's under the AP exam. It's under AP.
It's under weighting.
Right.
If a student, currently it says if a student does not sit for the assessment, there will be no weighting applied to the student's course grade. So this is saying.
So I am, if a student who does not sit for the assessment, the weighting will change from 7%. Excuse me.
The weighting will be 5%.
Okay, on the motion, all those in favor? Opposed? Okay, the motion passes.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, are there other changes or that?
Did Ginger say something about the 60?
We decided 55.
55.
Oh, 55. We did? did you vote on it?
Yes. Yes.
Then you
moving right along.
quarterly grades, the lowest quarterly grade allowed for a student in grades 5 through 12 shall be 55.
Correct.
So those are the two changes.
Wait, Seth still has something to say.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Put his glasses on.
Right.
So I guess just some questions that were brought up that I think are worthy of just the commenting. One is a statement. It's more, we've received feedback about letter F, grading shall generally not be used for disciplinary purposes. And just by way of background, and then the follow-up is academic sanctions may be imposed if the misconduct is related to academic performance. This section is not something that we just made up.
Right.
It's something that the commissioner's decisions require. So it's not something that we really in our policy committee meeting negotiated. That's what the commissioner's decisions say. You can't use grading for disciplinary purposes, but where there is misconduct that relates to academic performance, then that misconduct can result in academic sanctions, okay, which can impact grading. So I wanted to put that out there because we did receive a couple of, receive feedback from it, and it wasn't something that we really have a whole lot of control over changing because that is what it is, and we wanted to make sure that it was memorialized as the commissioner's decisions require. A question that was brought up, I don't know if Dr. Lewis can help with this, but the superintendent's determination, not substantively about that, which is letter D, is this the appropriate policy in which to include it? Is it something related to grading that we think this is the right place for it, or is there another place for it that would be more suitable?
I think this is the right place because it's very broad, and the regulations goes deeper.
Okay.
So this just says that you're charging me with the responsibility of setting up a process.
Okay.
And I think it's appropriate. Are you going to?
Yes. I would also like to suggest with the change that we just made to the AP, that we also add into the policy, so it doesn't come as a surprise to anybody, that there will be a change on the transcript going from AP to advanced.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Okay, so are there any other discussion? Mr. Greenberg?
So one of the feedback we got was a change in one word, which I think
advanced
makes
designation.
Sense. In under B1, the word maintain to administer, I think is probably.
I'm sorry,
wait 1 second.
B1.
Go ahead.
All full year courses to be graded as follows: 21% for each quarter grading courses that administer midterm and final regions, as opposed to maintain.
So,
hey, if we're cleaning up.
What word
language.
Are we taking
administer,
out?
Administer, maintain.
We're replacing the word maintain to administer.
Okay.
Yep, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That's not substantive. Right.
It is not substantive.
I think it's
okay. Are there any? Are there any other changes? Okay, so then we will be voting on it.
July 2nd.
On July 2nd. Right. So you don't think that. I think that there are substantive changes, no?
I think there are substantive changes.
So recirculate for another 30 days?
Well,
is that what our policy says?
That what does that policy say?
I don't
say?
Think it does.
I asked about it.
It doesn't say 30 days.
So why can't we recirculate it until the first, and then the second we can vote on it?
Yeah, I think
does
so.
Does that work?
Yes. We'll have to.
No.
No.
First is a Sunday.
We
need it a little bit before that.
Okay, so.
Is our meeting.
So the Friday.
No.
Can we, how about the Thursday?
I think.
If anybody feels strongly, get in your comments.
People communicate electronically. They do. So I think it's fair.
Okay, so what.
Nobody has sent it in by Pony Express.
But. You can still make a change.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, so
we need
we're
to
not voting
adapt,
on it, so. But we're making these changes. Okay.
You're making the changes.
Right.
You're making people aware that they're changes.
Right.
And we're going to get July
2nd, it will be adopted.
But
correct.
We're going to get feedback, correct?
Correct.
All right.
Okay. Okay.
The problem, though, is the mechanism does not exist for the PTA, for example, to meet.
No, we're not
or
right. Oh, to recirculate.
So.
Okay.
You do know we're not getting it onto board docs until the second day, right?
What?
You're not going to get it until the day. Any changes that come in, you're not going to get until the day of the board.
Okay. Can I make a suggestion that we, whatever the Thursday before the second is, that's the date that we have to, that anything, any comments have to be.
28th. 28 or 29.
So you have time to get it in board docs, and we have time to read it.
Okay.
Okay, does that work?
Yep, that works.
Okay. Grading policy. Oh, Mr. Greenberg.
I'd like to make a motion to amend the agenda to add as a new business item to be voted on during new business the circulation of the now amended grading policy.
Okay. A second? Jody, all those in favor? Okay. Grading policy regulation.
Generally, regulations come after the grading policy has been adopted. So I will have to look at the draft that I created, thanks to Dr. Molieri. because it was reflective of the policy that I thought was going to be adopted. So I will review that. So it's still out for a draft. We don't really need to have it adopted by July 2nd. We do need to have the policy adopted by July 2nd. But I would encourage those of you who would like to opine is to give me feedback on what is there as the regulations, so that once I make the adjustments based on the policy, we should be ready to go by August. I'm hoping by August.
Okay, thank you. Now we're going to go into public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process, or those of others could in some way be violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted on the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. We thank you in advance for being respectful of all speakers and staff members. The floor is now open. Okay. Seeing no other... I thought Joyce was getting up to speak. Seeing no speakers, public participation is now closed, and we will go on to routine business. Can I have a motion on routine business? Ginger, second. Jody, any holds, separation, discussion?
What number is Campbell Powell?
8.23.
Ask
for a separate vote, and then you could say it when we separate vote. Okay, so you want a separate vote on 8.23.
Okay.
So routine business, with the exception of 8.23, all those in favor? Okay, could somebody make a motion on 8.23? Seth, second. Ginger. Discussion? Rennell?
Given the fact that this refers to Camp Apollo, and I have been president for umpteen years, it's only appropriate that I refrain from voting on that. I will have to abstain.
So all those in favor of the Camp Apollo contract? Okay. Abstentions? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Now we're going to go to new business, and 11.13 is recommendation to reaffirm and approve the district reserve fund plan. Can I have a motion? Ginger, second. Seth, you already discussed. All those in favor? Thank you. And now we need a motion to recirculate the grading policy. Seth, second. Jody, any discussion? All those in favor?
Please make sure you send comments.
Okay, and then can I get a motion for routine business for the purpose of discussing specific personnel and to obtain legal advice from the district's council? What did I say? For executive session. Rennell, second. Ginger, all those in favor? Thank you, and thank you for staying until the end. Good night.